and Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. You know it don't matter anyway. You can rely
on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. Put your headphones on, Doug, and stop talking to Deke when the show is starting. Salin, enjoy the hearth and listen to some Hall & Oates, baby.
All right.
This is America. This is why we're the best, Doug.
That is a little slice of Americana, isn't it, Doug?
Well, I guess.
Hall & Oates?
Yeah.
And you and a guy that you've been at loggerheads with, Deke Dotem, talking just as two great Americans and kind of hashing things out, and apparently on the cusp of announcing that the indefinite suspension will be revoked.
No, that's not the case at all.
What would it take?
He's in rehab right now, and he's making some progress, sure, but nonetheless, he is suspended. He is suspended indefinitely.
What kind of action would it take for Deke one day to be let free?
Well, I already said if they brought me the head of a dozen dead serpents, that would do it.
I'm actually surprised that hasn't happened yet.
To rid our area of some evil serpents at the same time, that'd be a nice start. But he has been suspended indefinitely for crimes against humanity.
Don't you think that demand makes you seem like a despot?
No, I'm not an odious despot.
It seems like you are. Like, who else would say, bring me the heads of serpents, unless someone that was drunk with power?
I'm simply a law and order candidate.
You're like Pol Pot.
That's right. Well, not exactly like Pol Pot.
Exactly.
Didn't he kill tens of thousands of his own people?
Hey, yeah, exactly.
Think what I'm doing is killing Deke Dotem. He's very much alive.
You're killing this man's spirit.
I don't think his spirit's dead at all.
Everyone's hope for redemption at some point in their lives.
Everybody makes mistakes, Doug.
And you got to pay for them.
How long, though?
Indefinitely.
How long must he toil?
Indefinitely. He already moved out of town.
Isn't that enough?
Well, that's a good start.
He moved to a city where there's nothing going on, no business, no social life, no good baseball teams.
Yeah. What about this? According to a texter putting forth this question, Doug would probably remove the suspension if Deke mowed his lawn and some Daisy Dukes for a whole summer.
You don't mow your lawn at all, do you? You don't even have a lawn, do you? No, he has no lawn.
That might be the text of the day. I'm going to say right now, forget to give text
of
the day.
He doesn't have a lawn.
It doesn't matter. It was a funny text. So if I forget to give text of the day, Plowsy, Sea Monster, Iggy, that's the text of the day.
It seems like you're shirking your responsibility.
No, because I forget sometimes.
Look, yeah, I know.
Just
but,
the first
but,
one that pops up.
Boy, that was a good text.
There's your winner.
But you asked me to keep an eye on this, so I am. So I'm not going to let you forget. Charlie, we're a team here.
There's
bro.
A roast beef sandwich on the line.
That's true, from Lion's Choice.
That's right. So you take this seriously.
I always do. I have a nice Egg McMuffin.
Not seem like much now, but long about noon and you're hungry, that'll be a big, valuable prize.
Absolutely.
Oh, Bubbles is on his way, boys.
Is he bringing something?
No, he just said, on my way, boys. We're a family. One
you
of
are.
Our family is headed
to bring
here.
Something. You have to lay hosannas at our feet if you dare show up at one of our remotes.
Brother A-Bear is here. Sharing fellowship.
Over the hello, Brother
A-Bear. Deke Dotem. And also Fred from the
poor part of the nail.
From the poor part of the nail.
Who drove, had to be an hour to get here.
And who is a Charlie Lemming.
As he should be.
I thought.
And a lover of Doug Vaughn. And a bringer. And a bringer of Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer tall boy.
Tall boy drinks.
And he just shot you a come hither look, too.
No, I don't think
he did. How about the fact that this Arnold Palmer, it's 23 ounces.
Yeah,
why not just
nice.
Make it 24 ounces? What's the deal with
well,
that?
Well, they're trying to cut back on ounces.
For sugar intake?
Yeah. If you cut back on 1 ounce and you're producing millions of cans, that's a heck of a lot of ounces, Charlie.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's well said, Doug.
Uh-huh.
What else you got?
Nothing. I thought the show was over.
The Blues, I think they have a preseason game potentially coming up one of these days.
Yeah, I think
maybe like tonight it when
in Dallas.
I'm just kidding. I love the Blues.
I know, but I don't like it when you...
I had nothing to go to there.
Like you pretend like you know nothing, and that's a badge of honor for this show. Like
Chuck,
we're
I believe,
three sportscasters that know nothing.
No, I knew the Blues had a preseason game.
I believe they
game.
Play the Stars
yes,
tonight.
Yes, I couldn't right. remember if it was tonight or tomorrow, Doug, and that's why I kind of threw out a general statement.
A general so's chicken.
It's kind of hard to get excited about anything preseason. The start of spring training is kind of exciting.
Don't you think this Blues team, though,
but the games itself are,
in all seriousness, because it's so different looking, And Ken Hitchcock has said it's going to be a different style, up-tempo. No Backus, and we all love David Backus. No Brower. Those are great guys. Big physical guys, so we're going to see a different style. And I am interested to see how that works.
Do you think it's really going to look a lot different?
I think when you take away personnel like that, you don't have Brian Elliott. I think it's drastically a different team, yes.
You're not going to go to the gritty areas when you have Fabry, Schwartz, and guys like that, so it'll be a more fast-paced offense. So I think it would look completely different.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Gritty, let's call it hard areas, please. That's what Hitch says.
So when the puck goes in the corner, the Blues are just going to throw up their hands and say, we're not going after
that. No, they're
going to
beat
the
opponent.
No, we got a different guy. No, we can't do that now.
They're going to beat the opponent into the corner instead of trying to out-muscle them. They're going to out-quick them.
Duh.
And, you know, we got that little playoff run that we were hoping from the Blues last year. We would have liked to see it go deeper and maybe win a Stanley Cup, but it was a great playoff run, and they kept saying – it's because we're built for the playoffs. We got the guys who go in the hard areas, and they did it and put together a nice playoff run. And now the guys who go to the hard areas are gone.
Yeah, made
Isn't
it
that kind of true?
Yeah, made it to within two wins of the Stanley Cup final. Well, we can't do that again. We better get rid of the guys who got us there, the goalie who got us there, and the two guys who scored most of the goals. We better change the team.
The goalie.
But there
was
have been a lot of teams.
The goalie was a good move for.
It's
both
okay.
Parties.
I was just mid sentence. Go ahead.
Wow. Yeah, it was good for both.
It's a good move to not have Brian Elliott.
I think it is. Yeah, you give the confidence to the young guy in Allen. Elliott gets a chance to play and get, you know, 50 or 60 starts without having to worry about a backup. I think it's great for both parties.
Oh, so you believe it's addition by subtraction.
I agree.
Why do you hate Brian Elliott?
I don't at all.
I don't think it helps the Blues. I don't think it helps the Blues. They did have two really good goalies. They had one who was an all-star and had the best goals against in the entire league. To lose him and to get a second-round draft pick in return, I don't think that helps the Blues.
But let me ask you this, because the writing was on the wall that probably when Elliott's contract is up, you're not going to re-sign him. You want to get something out of him. They know if it happens this year, trading deadline, the Blues kind of are leveraged at that point.
And they might have lost one to the expansion draft. I get that. But nonetheless, to have an all-star goalie who took you to the Western Conference Finals and to get a second-round pick is all you got for him, that's a little puzzling to me.
I think, though, that Blues fans, the Blues brass, are comfortable, and they've seen enough from Jake Allen to say he can be a number one-type goaltender, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a timeshare. He's good enough where we have confidence in him to do that.
I agree, and I think he'll be good. But my question is, and again, I'm a rights holder, so I see things through rose-colored glasses, but I think it's a legitimate question to go, now, wait a minute. We got Brower in the trade. We questioned. They said, no. This is for the play. And,
trade away one of the most popular players they had.
Right, and they go, no, wait, because you'll see when the games get tougher as they push into the playoffs, that's where he's going to merge. And then once we get to the playoffs, it was like, they're right. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Backus, he's got to show up big in the playoffs if the Blues are going to. And he did.
Did.
And they're both gone.
Yep. And
but
now,
also.
Now we don't want those players.
No, but also.
We
need
smaller players who won't go in the gritty areas.
But let's be real.
It's hard areas.
We love those guys. They're in their early 30s to give 4- and 5-year contracts. I'm telling you, if 2 years in those guys weren't productive, we'd all be complaining.
They're
good in the room.
We all complained. Blues. Everybody complained about the Albert Pujols deal. They cried in the streets. They burnt jerseys. And now every Cardinals fan and media member realize how smart it was that he didn't sign.
I thought it was the right thing to do. Most people didn't. A lot of people did. Okay? A lot of people understood what was going on. And I'm not saying that these are terrible moves. And I believe that the Blues have a ton of talent. They are transitioning to a different style. I'm just saying I find it odd that it happened so quickly with really the three main guys behind their run into the Blues.
Doug,
I thought Backus was the heart and soul of the team. I would have given him a little bit more maybe than what you were comfortable giving, just to have his presence on the team.
Would you have given Backus
Maybe not Brower. Maybe not both of them.
Would you have given Backus $7 million on the chance to lose Schwartz the next year? I just don't understand that. He's 32 years old. Brower went the one 30 years old you probably could have given 4 years to. But you don't want to lose a guy like Jaden Schwartz on – two decently solid years for Backus and then two piss-poor years at the end of a contract. It's just pointless.
Well, it's just because you signed Backus, it doesn't mean you automatically have to lose Schwartz.
Well, that's why they did it. I mean, look at the cap. That's exactly why they did it.
Well, I think
they pretty much even said so. I mean, yeah. I understand why.
In a Caps league, you have to make tough decisions. You have to get rid of guys you really don't want to. How many times in this run by the Blackhawks have we seen them win a cup and then some of their key pieces, now not the Canes and the Taves, those guys, but some of the good ancillary pieces have left because they're making much more money.
Don't say ancillary.
Elsewhere.
Don't
say whatever I want.
Don't use that word.
I'll say ancillary. I'll say foodstuffs.
I don't care for either word.
Clousy is right. Elliott was a good decision, but Brower was the disappointment, I guess. This is from the Soulard Twink Boy. I assume that that means they're disappointed that Brower wasn't brought up. I'm just saying, to me, and I get it, and I'm not saying they're not going to be good. I think they're going to be very good. But it's like both guys, the two guys and the goalie. Like, if you pick three guys that were really the genesis of their run, you probably pick all three of those guys.
And if they come up short in the playoffs, are we going to hear that, well, we got to get tougher and bigger and guys up front in the playoffs because the game changes in the playoffs?
How about the fact that this year's Cardinals team, there's a lot of complaint about an aging team and guys that, don't get me wrong, were part of great runs here in World Series championships, but you get to the wrong side of 30, you get older, guys are going to get injured. That's just a fact of life. We've all seen what can happen. You do take a drop-off. So I think in the same way, it's always good to trade a player or get rid of a player 1 year too early than 1 year too late. I truly believe that.
Well, to trade him and get something in return, sure, that's absolutely true.
Or sign
Backus
a guy.
And Brower, you got nothing in return for those guys. And it's not like Backus' numbers were starting to decline drastically. He was about the best player you had in the playoffs.
I agree with you. And don't get me wrong, we all love David Backus. That was his best postseason by far. So he was able to really, when
command,
his contract
command,
was up,
command
a lot of money because he had the best postseason of his life. And God bless him for it. But we didn't see necessarily performances like that in past postseasons.
And I understand, but here, and maybe I don't want to speak for Doug, but here's the question that it raises to me. We hear, especially in the playoffs, you've got to go to the hard areas. You have got to be camped out in front and get the deflection. I mean, time and time again, when they didn't win, they needed more of that. And now the guys that were doing that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying, right? I mean, there's no getting around that,
100%
right?
Agree with all you. Right. But I think also that's kind of the way the team was built. When you look the last few years, I mean, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, that's a pretty skilled game. You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, they won it. That's a pretty skilled game. I know everybody has some bruisers, but I do think, and after the season, Ken Hitchcock, Doug Armstrong talked about this, that the league is going to a younger, faster game. I think that's certainly fair to say.
If you've got guys like that, Kane and Toews and Crosby and Malkin, if you've got players like that, it's a little easier to make it work.
But don't you think the Blues have, again, I'm not talking about the top-tier talent, but a Schwartz, Tarasenko, Fabry, guys like that are more in that mold. I'm not saying they're at the all-star top-tier level.
I think you put Tarasenko with that group. I don't think.
But, Doug, I'm not talking about the production. I'm talking about their style of play. It's more of the faster, up-tempo.
Clearly, that's what they're going for, They want more odd man rushes.
And I tell you, if you watch Fabry.
Don't say odd man
rushes.
Well,
I did, and I almost tried to work in ancillary as well.
Fabry looks like the real deal. You expect that he'll take what he did last year, which is very impressive, and take it to another level this year. They have a ton of talent. I'm excited about
it.
I just find that little quirk in off-season dealings is
Are you concerned that Allen, who has had an injury or two in the past, if he goes down, now the goalie is Hutton? We've gone from having Elliott and Allen, and now we got Hutton as the goalie.
Next man up.
I've not seen enough of him to play to judge. It just seems like that goaltending was a real strength of the team, and now it could be thin.
Speaking of next man up, guess who's on the Appliance Discounter phone lines?
Ooh.
It's Jared from the Wheelhouse, because we're about to do the picks of the week. Good morning, Jared. How you doing? I mean, here's the open.
These are the Wheelhouse Downtown picks of the week.
I got the best player in the league. I'm looking pretty sweet. Head in the football.
Wheelhouse is the local college football and NFL headquarters in St. Louis. 32-ounce big beers with 30 flavors to choose from and a large from-scratch menu. The best nachos in town, served by an even greater staff. They're easily accessible. Take the 11th Street exit off Highway 40. Contact us and book your watch party at parties@wheelhousestl.com. Now, here are your picks of the week.
Well, how about that? Charlie Marlowe filling in for Tim. We've got Doug. We've got the cat. We're live at Billy G's. And we have Jared on the phone line. Brought to you by the Wheelhouse. The Wheelhouse, Jared from the Wheelhouse. So I can say now, good morning, Jared. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. We have a nice fire in front of us, and we're ready for some red hot picks.
I'm jealous of that fire.
I didn't really check. How did we do last week? I'm not really sure. How'd you do? How'd we do? Do you know?
Does anybody really keep score?
I think I went 0-3.
No, sorry about that.
I can't remember the games. I have them right in front of me for today, though, Doug.
Okay.
So how about we start?
Let's get to it. Okay.
How about we start with college football? Missouri at LSU. The Tigers, our Tigers, getting 13.5 points, Jared. What say you?
I'm taking our Tigers and the 13.5 points, feeling pretty good about it.
I agree with you. That's a lot of points. And it's not like LSU is a team. I mean, that's the reason Les Miles has been fired is it's all defense. They don't throw the ball. They don't score a ton of points usually when they're facing good teams. I really like Missouri getting 13.5. Doug.
Well, LSU's got the new coach, Chuck, and I think they'll be revved up and ready to go. And what LSU does better than most teams is play in space.
Okay.
LSU has some guys who I call it playing in space. So I'm going to say LSU will indeed cover.
Who are some of their guys that play in space well, besides Leonard Fournette of course?
Well,
no, besides.
Some
besides
of, you know, his backup. We've all seen quite a bit of him, and yeah. I think he plays pretty well in space.
What's his name?
I don't need to
but he
I
can
need
tote
to consult
it.
Your intelligence by
he
throwing
can,
out the name.
He can tote the rock.
Yes, he can.
Cat.
I'm going to go Missouri. I think it's an X factor when there's a coaching change, and I think the Tigers might be able to seize upon that.
All right. We all agree. How about Louisville? -2 at Clemson. You have Clemson, a team that makes it to the national championship game last year, and they're getting points at home, Jared.
Oh, I know. This is a little bit crazy, but I'm taking Louisville. Last week we had the theme that defense travels, so I'm going to assume that the Cardinals' defense is going to travel to Clemson in South Carolina, and they're gonna take it. I'm taking Louisville.
I'm going to go the other direction. I think maybe this is the game and the wake-up call that Clemson needs. You have Deshaun Watson, Doug. It's kind of like two Heisman candidates on display.
Yeah.
I will take Clemson in the other Death Valley getting two.
I like Louisville. I think Louisville's maybe the best team in the country. What they do so well is a thing I call formation recognition.
What?
They can get to the line, their signal caller, field general, and he will recognize the formation.
So let's say, where's the mic? Who's the mic?
Right. 56 is the mic. That's the kind of thing you might hear from Louisville.
Okay.
And based on that, mostly, I'm going to pick them. I'm going to say Louisville will cover and beat Clemson.
And you like, you've said for years, you like Petrino, not only for what he does, you know, with his players, but high character coach.
Yeah. I like all the fooling around he does to his wife. Away from the
field. Is there a better, in all seriousness, is there a better picture in the history of mankind than the picture of Bobby Petrino doing a press conference with a neck brace, with all kinds of road rash on his face from his motorcycle accident where it was found out that he was having an affair with someone who worked at the school.
Right.
That's one of the greatest pictures of all time.
Let's hire him and give him $4 million.
But you know what? He wins.
That means everything?
I'm not saying.
Same with Joe Paterno, right? He won.
Did I say that?
I think you were going there.
Doug, can I ask you a question? Does this matchup involve a home dog?
Oh, I believe it does.
I'm going with the home dog.
How about that? Our final college football game.
How
about the Wisconsin Badgers just beating up on good teams? LSU, Wisconsin took down Sparty last week. Wisconsin going to the big house at Michigan. And Michigan, a 10.5 point favorite? Are you kidding me? I'll take Wisconsin getting 10.5 points. That's an easy one for me.
It's a lot of points. I'm going Wisconsin, too.
I'm sorry. I forgot to.
Ask Jared.
Yeah, Jared. Jared, what say you?
All right. I think that's a lot of points for Michigan to cover, even though they're at home. I'm taking Wisconsin in the points.
There
Me
you
too.
Go, Doug.
I am, too. I like Wisconsin's root hogs. I think we'll see quite a bit of short, choppy steps out of them, and I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
They ever use the lateral?
Sometimes they'll use a lateral quick step. And they'll run some quick openers off of that, out of the belly
Look
series.
Out for the quick openers.
Yeah.
Will they ever do what I like to call, personally, play action? What you'll do is you'll fake putting the ball in the belly of your tote carrier, okay?
Right.
But then you throw it deep over the top.
Huh. I don't believe I've seen that.
It's something I created.
Okay.
How about the NFL? The Rams at the Cardinals. The Rams are 2-1, actually in first place in the NFC West. The Cardinals, I believe, are 1-2, but I don't really know that, and I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure they're 1-2. Cardinals, though, getting 8 points. I hate to do this, but I've been burnt by the Rams all year, picking here, Fox 2. The Rams getting 8 points, I'm going to have to take the Rams. I'm not saying they win the game, but I'm going to take the Rams
plus 8. You lack character.
Eight.
You lack character.
Jared?
Yeah, same here. I think it's too many points for Arizona to cover. And I think that the Rams are going to be able to stay within striking distance, and I think they're going to cover the 8 points. So I'm taking the Rams, too.
I think you're on drugs. I'm picking the Cardinals. I think the Rams have difficulties with their gap responsibilities. I'm going to say the Cardinals will cover.
By the way, 590 The Fan, the all-new, is the home of the Arizona Cardinals in St. Louis.
Oh, great.
That's why I'm picking the Cardinals. I will never pick the Rams, never, okay? I'm not the one that is every week, you know, if they have a bad outing going on radio and killing. But I'm never going to pick them. I don't care if it enhances me for a wager or anything like that. I will not pick the Rams.
I like that. All right, Chiefs at the Steelers. Everybody high on the Steelers up until last week in the Battle of Pennsylvania, Doug. It became Wentzylvania because Carson Wentz and the Eagles blew him out of the water.
Apparently he's never lost a football game, Carson Wentz.
Is that true?
In high school, college, and now the pros, he's yet to lose a game.
Do you think he'll never lose a game in the NFL?
I don't think so, no.
I'll tell you what, I'm thinking the Steelers are bouncing back at home, and I could see them just outscoring the Chiefs, so I will take the Steelers -4.5. Jared, what about you?
I think the Steelers are tough at home, but I think the Chiefs are going to be able to keep it close. I think they're playing well, and I think that Andy Reid's always got them in a place to be competitive, and they'll be ready to play. So I think that they're going to keep it close. So I'm taking the Chiefs and the 4.5 points.
I'm going to take the Steelers. I think the Steeler defense will play some cover 2. They'll play some cover 1. They'll play some cover 3. At times, they won't cover anyone at all. Based on that, I'm going to say the Steelers will cover the points.
I believe that the Steelers will use Promani's, which is a great sandwich place, to distract Andy Reid in the preparation, and they will bounce back. A distracted Andy Reid and a Steelers looking to get back on track, I'm going to go Steelers.
So Promani's, I went there once, and that's a place, don't they put coleslaw and french fries on the sandwich, Doug? Imagine that. Instead of having a side dish, you put it all on one big hoagie.
So here's what happens. They go do a walkthrough or some last-minute coaching. And Promani's, welcome. We're going to send some of these. And that just takes Andy Reid right
out. So what you're saying
right
is, like when it's fourth down, Andy Reid has to make a big call in the fourth quarter, he will not know what to do because he's so focused on a nice hoagie.
Well, I think what happens is, you know, the coaches sort of choreograph what could happen, and they have it on a card. You know,
they script the first 15 scenarios.
And sometimes late in games we're going to bring in this. He will have forgotten to do that because he was on his fourth Promani sandwich.
All right. The final game, Jared, is Cowboys -2 at the 49ers. And you know what? I'm liking the local guy, Ezekiel Elliott from John Burroughs. I'm liking Dak Prescott. They have the 1-2 rookie punch. I'm going to take the Cowboys on the road, giving up 2 points. Jared, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I like that young backfield of Prescott and Elliott. I think their poise will be on full display this weekend, and they're going to go into San Francisco, and they're going to cover the 2 points. Austin. I take the Cowboys.
Charlie Marlowe filling in for Tim McKernan. We've got Doug. We've got the cat. We kind of gave our locks there. I don't think we were on the air. But so what we did is we performed a live presentation.
Jared is still on the line, so why don't we go ahead and give those out on the air, Charlie?
Well, how about that, Jared? We kind of lost you there. Our bad. Lock of the week. What do you like?
I really like this over in the Texas Tech-Kansas Jayhawk game, mainly because Texas Tech scores a lot of points. They also give up a ton. They might be the only defense that's going to make the Kansas Jayhawks look somewhat respectable on offense. So I'm taking the over of 78.5 in the Texas Tech-Kansas Jayhawk football game.
I like that.
That's
I'm going to stay.
Points.
Yeah,
a lot
that
of points.
Is. But, hey, Jared knows what he's talking about. I'm going to stay in the college game. The first game I looked at, Stanford at Washington, #7 Stanford at #10 Washington. I'm not going to buy into Washington until they prove it to me, Doug. So because of that, I'm going to take Stanford going on the road and getting 3.5 points.
Mine is college football, and whoever put the list of picks together should be strung up because they left this one off the main body of picks, Doug.
What is it?
And you know the one I'm talking
about.
Don't
say main body.
Florida International hosting Florida Atlantic. We've talked about this matchup every year. When these two teams get together, Doug, what do?
We throw out the record books.
And we speak loud because a train is going by in the background.
Choo-choo!
Mm-hmm. It's Florida Atlantic minus -5. I'm going Florida International at home, another home dog. And I'll tell you one thing about this game. There might be no winners because blood will be spilled. Charlie, these two teams don't like each other.
It's unbelievable what has happened with these two teams over the years, Doug. Give us an example of some of the crazy events that have happened between Florida International, I believe, Florida Atlantic.
Well, one guy hurt his ankle last year.
Oh, yeah.
He twisted it.
Was it a high ankle sprain?
It was. I don't know exactly what direction it was in.
Sure.
But that's down there in the Miami area.
And one guy
so there's
got
likely to be blood spilled in the,
one guy
in the stands
a,
or in the parking lot.
He got a scrape on his knee last year. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. It was horrific.
They almost decided to just call off the rivalry anymore.
Especially that conference, Charlie, that you're going to lay out now.
Sure. It's a conference. It's full of teams from the South, Doug.
Florida. Yeah.
It's usually 10 to 14 teams that get together. They play each other during their league slate.
Round robin style.
Usually. Well, yeah. Jared, we appreciate it. And what do you got to tell us about the Wheelhouse? What do you got going on coming up this weekend and this autumn?
Well, we got a pretty big baseball series. Obviously, we need the Cardinals to get some W's. So, like as many Cardinals fans down in the area as possible to support and also swing by and grab some brunch from us on Saturday and Sunday before the game. And then we'll have college football and NFL football going on all fall. Come in and get yourself some big beers and some nachos and enjoy the pony show that takes place all weekend long. So that's what we got going on. Pretty excited about it.
Apparently, we gave a pick of a game that had already been played last night.
How'd we do with it?
According to my source at ESPN.com, Texas Tech beat Kansas 55-19.
Who gave that pick?
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
All right, Jared.
Why would you do that, Doug?
Now, they scored 74, but the over-under was 78.5, so he loses. He lost his pick on a game that had already been played.
But here's the thing. He didn't lose because if he tried to, let's say, go to Bovada or call in a pick for that game, they'd say no, because the game's already been played.
Oh. What if they knew that he was betting against what happened?
I think they'd probably let that bet slip
through. Probably would have accepted the bet, yeah.
Well, either way, Doug, it was a great segment. And it's been a great show so far.
We only went off the air 3 times during that segment.
Ken Jeong is coming up in a matter of 4 minutes-ish. The actor, known for his roles on Dr. Ken and in The Hangover. Chow, of course. He also writes and produces Dr. Ken, that show on ABC. It's brought to you by DraftKings. Rick Hummel, Hall of Fame Cardinals reporter at 9, brought to us by Hot Shots. 9:20, Lauren and Wayne Turley from Catherine Cares, a great charity. They're going to tell you about their special that they have coming up here. That's very cool at 9:20, and that's why we're here at Billy G's in Kirkwood, one of our favorite spots. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They have a great brunch. They have a great nightlife scene, Doug. They have the outdoor bar and patio. It's downtown Kirkwood. There's a charm to it.
Right. There really is, and there's trains going by, and there's a wonderful custard stand across the street, which is outstanding. And Tim comes here, so that makes it cool.
Yeah, I think that's really the crux of the issue. If he's here, it's a pony.
Yeah. Right? Just if you're here, Doug's here.
You know,
hey, nice seat on that guy. But when Tim's here, it's a pony.
I would think so. You know. Yeah, great bar here. The bar's become very
great bar, great food. Yeah. I'm telling you.
What do you?
We like to come a lot for the brunch. The brunch has really good food. I mean, all the different day parts, Doug, have great food.
Don't say day parts.
But
I specifically
prefer brunch.
And what
so
kind
good.
Of brunch do you give? Is it a brunch buffet, or you just order brunch selections? Since you were just extolling
no
the
buffet,
virtues
right?
of it,
no buffet,
no.
But great.
Right, why'd you have to go ask? You said it's great.
Because maybe they unveiled a new buffet yesterday. I don't want to.
Because I like you. I love a nice brunch.
Yeah, no buffet. You order. We got great creations like crab cakes Benedict. There's a mimosa, Bloody Mary, coffee bar, and screwdriver bar. All bottomless for $20.
How about
who's
that?
Bottomless?
Doug, it's a business.
Bottomless.
Man, it's a sponsor.
I caught that.
Look where he takes it,
that's
Greg.
Where it's got to go.
You know,
right
you just suspend yourself.
Well, I don't,
you know, Deke Dunham's over there. Indefinite suspension. He's
right.
Minding his own business.
A little hypocritical, don't you think?
Yeah,
answer
Doug.
Answer the question.
Yeah, Doug.
This is a legitimate proprietor of a bar / restaurant, and you're trying to always take it down in the gutter.
You disgust me.
I thought it was a family
you
restaurant.
You disgust me.
And now I'm hearing that the people are bottomless?
May I ask?
That's newsworthy.
When you said all those were $20, can you alternate?
Yes, you can.
How about that? You can start with a mimosa, then you switch to a bloody, then you want a coffee, and what's the other option?
Are you a screwdriver?
Screwdriver? Are you kidding me, Doug?
If you want to go hard, Doug.
How's the chicken spadini?
It's really solid.
Do you have booze?
I have booze all morning long as well.
Have you?
I love this place.
Can I tell you that you guys like to push the chicken spadini? I get it. Tim has lemmings, and everyone loves it. The chicken parm is outstanding. And I don't think you guys give it its due. It's wonderful.
Don't sleep on the pork steak.
Agreed.
Best pork steak you ever have.
Yeah,
it's enormous.
After you eat it, you probably want to take a nap, though.
Yeah, it is enormous.
You take a nap on a Mattress Direct mattress.
Ah, I see.
That's what you do.
Okay. But they don't have them here.
Not here proper, but at Mattress
You'd
Direct,
have to go somewhere
you that. Can get a mattress.
Okay.
So we have Ken Jeong coming up in a matter of minutes, Doug. What will be your first question?
So who's big for you, Kenny?
For an actor? Mm-hmm. Like, who's big on his show?
I guess his agent would probably be big for him.
True.
Is this guy, Seymour, I didn't read the bio that you took time to print out for us, but wasn't he really a doctor?
I think he was. I feel like I've heard that. How about one of you two ask that?
I'm not going to
I don't have confidence
that.
In that question.
Well, I know. I think Iggy has a couple of important things he wants to ask Ken about
well,
as
let's,
well.
You know, Iggy should be our leadoff man on this. Don't
this
you
guy
think?
Will be good friends with Iggy. I'm sure they've met 15
All right,
times.
So Iggy, are you Hi, there? Iggy, you there?
Hi, Iggy.
Iggy.
We also haven't talked with
Iggy
guest
Hold on.
Right now, so you can't really talk.
Geez, don't scold us, Plowsy.
Wait, what's he?
Also, some breaking news. Not breaking because Iggy basically broke it last week that Lady Gaga, his favorite, will be the halftime performer at the Super Bowl.
He broke that?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, I say we immediately hand off to Iggy. Because let's face it, when it comes to Hollywood celebrities, he rubs elbows with
them. He could do this a lot better than we could.
Probably, you know, he likes to walk around his apartment in his undies.
Mm.
A little unsettled by that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people maybe walk around occasionally in their underwear in their own
home. Do you take pictures of your utensils in your undies?
No, I don't.
That was a faux pas. That was a faux pas.
Can you guys hear me?
I've never taken a picture of my utensils.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I just want to make sure this works.
All right, you're gonna hit leadoff for us on this interview, Iggy?
Well, I'll let you bring him on, and then you can
right.
Throw it to
but
me
you're but then Charlie's gonna pitch it to you because we figure you're a guy who's more in tune with the Hollywood crowd because you interview celebrities for a living.
Well, that's fine. Whatever you want me to do, I'm on hold with him now, waiting to get off of. I don't know where he's at. He's on another show.
And you have pants on. You do have pants on.
Maybe. And I did break Lady Gaga a few weeks ago.
Thank you, Iggy.
Are you excited about that? That should be fun.
I am.
Well, let's get to our guest.
We have a.
Is he there?
Yeah.
Is he on the line, Sea Monster?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said he was on hold.
I think he's on hold with someone.
Does he have something new he's promoting that we should know about?
Well, first he has Dr. Ken, which is on ABC. He writes and produces it. And then we'll also ask him if he really was a doctor, which, again, I feel like I've heard that. We could probably confirm this on the internet, but why not just ask the actual person?
Okay, I'm just wondering he's a big star. Why would he be making the rounds if he didn't have something new going on that he's promoting?
He just wants to talk it over with St. Louis, one of his favorite cities.
Doug, I believe the new season of Dr. Ken started last week.
Okay. Well, that's
so it. You're not too late to get on your DVR, your on-demand, and catch up.
Okay.
He's very funny. He's that guy from the thing.
He's Chow. Yeah. He's absolutely hilarious. And Doug, if you learn how to use your DVR, you could do that. You can program these shows.
I use it
like Dr. Ken on ABC that Ken Jeong writes and produces for. And he joins us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Ken Jeong, again from that show. Dr. Ken, also you know him from the Hangover trilogy as Chow. Ken, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on the radio in St. Louis. How you doing?
Fine. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thanks for joining us. We were talking before, and I feel like I've heard this, but we wanted to confirm it. Are you a doctor in real life? Were you a doctor before your acting career?
Yeah, I was a doctor at an HMO in L.A., internal medicine doctor, for 7 years. And my wife's a doctor, and all, like, really, in many ways. I mean, The Hangover was like this happy accident that happened that gave me a career, and that led to my own show. So my whole career has been one happy accident.
I mean, you're one of those guys that that you're just naturally funny. I think you're brilliant, and I'm just wondering if you're and you're in the consultation room and you have to tell someone we're going to do some invasive surgery, are you making jokes?
People are always surprised when I was a doctor and you ask my former patients, I was always serious. I never liked joking around unless if I took care of them for like 5 or 6 years. Yeah, I mean, they would know my personality. Of course, they would know exactly. They would have a better idea of who I am as a person. But I was always pretty guarded about that because it's a life or death situation, and you don't want to mess with that. You got to act accordingly. If my job's comedy, I'm going to act a fool. But if my job's a doctor, I'll be a doctor kind of thing.
Hey, Ken, Dr. Ken, I mean, it's a funny show, obviously, but you guys tackle some things. I know there was an episode last year where you dealt with somebody with cancer, and even though you kind of did in a funny way, it was a serious moment.
Yeah, thanks for knowing about that episode, because that was my favorite episode last season and one of my favorite things I've ever done personally, in my career because of the subject matter. Because, yeah, I came up with the premise of, what if Dr. Ken's favorite patient dies and how you deal with death and dying, and the things that go along with that, because the cure is seldom, but the comfort is always. And it really is what happens when you start making emotional decisions as a doctor. And it's not always the right thing to do. But it's the human thing to do. And how do you kind of reconcile that? So, and to do that in a multi-camera format, in a comedy, it's near impossible to pull off. And that script, I had nothing to do with that script. That script was by Eric Summers, a brilliant, brilliant screenwriter who actually is writing the Spider-Man movies right now. He wrote that script, and it was just an honor to read those words. It was just an idea that I had, and he put those words to life. It was amazing. Yeah.
How did Hangover come about? Because obviously that puts you on the map. You got Community and everything after that. But how did Hangover come about for you?
I auditioned, just like every other actor, but I did know Todd Phillips, the writer director of The Hangover, and he basically got me a meeting with him and through his casting director, and I improvised a lot in the audition, and he basically gave me the part, and the part was really written for a 50-year-old man or a 60-year-old man. Mr. Chow was supposed to be an elderly, older guy, and the bodyguards in the original script were his sons, but due to my audition, they changed it to kind of fit my age, and the bodyguards weren't my sons. So it was a different forms and shapes of that character, and I don't know, the whole thing really happened by accident, and it was all organic, and it really, gave me a career. Just so grateful.
Ken Jeong joining us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You can see Dr. Ken this Friday, I think the second episode in the new season. Looking forward to it. Going back to Hangover, you're reading the script, and even all three of them were so funny, but when you're reading the script, say, oh, man, I got to show my penis in this thing. What was your first reaction?
It was my idea to do it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
You're that proud of it, huh?
Because it's not even, but that's the thing, it's not even, I'm actually a shy guy, I don't like to show anything, even on the beach, I don't like to even take off my shirt, I think I'm just an intense enough actor, just knowing that in the middle of that movie, it's going to raise the stakes if the guy jumps out naked, I wasn't trying to make a statement about anything, I wasn't trying to make a statement about anything Asian or stereotypical, or just make a statement about my own body. You just wanted the shock value of just, wow, you just got beat up by Mike Tyson, Tiger, and now what could be worse than that? Oh, this guy jumping out naked in the trunk. So that's kind of what happened.
Were you thinking about maybe a little trim, maybe a landing strip or something?
Nope, I wasn't. There was no vanity involved. It was just a spur-of-the-moment decision I came up with like a couple of days before shooting. And it was just no time to think. You just act on instinct, and you just kind of do what you do. And there wasn't any premeditated thought. I had no career at that time, and I didn't think that the movie would be as widely seen as it was. And it just kind of organically happened, And I think that's kind of where the best work happens,
And how funny is that cast, not only with you, but Zach and Bradley, just a funny cast. I can imagine it breaks. It had to just be one laugh after another.
Oh, yeah. It's just it's the best movie crew I've ever worked with. You know, those guys are family to me. I just saw Bradley a couple weeks ago at Stand Up to Cancer Telethon, and I saw Justin Bartha, one of the Wolfpack guys, a couple weeks ago as well. So I really, you know, I miss that crew. You know, it was really good times and just great, solid people.
So what's coming up next for you? I know we still have many episodes in this season of Dr. Ken, but what's coming up next for you? What are you working on?
That's it right now, because this job is so consuming, because I'm not, unlike the other acting jobs, I'm not just acting on it. I'm also producing and writing it, and every day, I mean, I help co-create the show, and it's just such a, it's like being on call, like a real doctor, because I'm always thinking about the show 24/7, and you can't really shut it off until it's over. You really can't. So it's just, I feel a great responsibility to the show to keep doing my utmost on every minute. You know, every decision of the show filters down through me, so I take that responsibility seriously.
Well, buddy, keep up the great work. It's a funny show, a great show. Once again, you can see Dr. Ken Fridays on ABC. Keep it up, and we'll look forward to whatever you have coming up after that.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. There you go. Ciao, Ken Jeong. And I did see quite a few episodes last year of Dr. Ken. Funny show, but as I asked him the question, there was one episode last year where he had to deal with a friend of his dying of cancer, and he threw some funny antidotes in her, but it was still a very heartwarming episode, and he's good at that. I mean, you know him as comedy, but he can be dramatic when he wants to, but he is one funny dude.
I think an underrated show he is on, I'm not for sure if you've seen it. I remember watching it a few years ago, watched a couple of seasons, called Community.
Yep, I threw that in. That Community, absolutely, actually, that's how he got that, by a Hangover. Nobody knew who he was before Hangover.
I mean, that show in general, it's more than just him. He has a small role in it. You know, he has some cameos as well after the first season. But I found that show to be just
underrated.
Very underrated, kind of spontaneous, similar to what the Hangover was. Love the show. I would highly recommend it.
If you're wondering why Plow Pirate and I are talking, they have dropped from Billy G's. They are working on getting that back. So we finished up the Ken Jeong interview. We'll finish up this segment. And I have to say, I think you talked about it, but
the show's been pirated.
Hey, Alexander Haig.
Hey, they're back.
Hey, Alexander Haig.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Iggy, you did save our, we are back, but you did save our bacon, so thank you for that.
Oh, I was ready for him, so I'm always prepared, buddy.
Well, we appreciate it. Then, of course, 12 minutes ago, we're like, we're back, we can jump in, and you were like, my show now.
I had you in queue, and I didn't get a text from CMAR until just now about you guys being back. That's why I threw you guys on air. So that was my bad, I guess, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't want any dead air.
No, radio, you guys, etiquette. Really saved the day. You guys saved the day, and it was a treat to listen to both of you. And, of course, the gentleman from The Hangover. He's the guy from that thing.
Ken
He's
Jeong.
Very funny. That was a very, very funny interview, Ken Jeong.
That's Iggy. Quite a move to go, how many years, med school, at least four, and then you do a residency, and to go through all that and become a successful doctor and say,
but don't you think,
I think I'll try show business.
But you could see him, like, you see him visually, and he starts doing a shtick, and it's hilarious right off the bat. So yeah. I could see him going to a casting call, and them saying, you know what, we need to have this guy. We're rewriting the script.
Oh, I don't doubt that he's funny. I just, for him to have made that move had to be kind of
Well, it's called talent. We wouldn't know much about
it. Is that any different than you, Doug? Is that any different than you being a 12-time Emmy winner and then you come to AM radio?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot different. I didn't go to 8 to 10, 12 years of medical school to become an accomplished physician and then say, let's just throw that all in the trash can and try something else.
The big difference is he's a bright guy who's talented, so he could do a lot of different things, where someone like yourself, very limited, and it's not like there's a bidding war for your services.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other doctors that are actors now.
Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah.
No, that was just a movie.
Dr. Strangelove. Dr. Strangelove.
These guys aren't really doctors.
Dr. Feelgood.
See, I think you're missing my point. You're just talking about
what,
movies,
Doug,
and shows,
please tell me,
about
what,
a doctor.
What is your point?
My point is it's pretty amazing that a guy who's an accomplished physician is going to throw that all away and say, I'm going to try my hand at acting.
Happened for Trapper John, M.D.,
He was an actor. Am I the only one that gets it?
How about Dr. Quinn, medicine woman?
Again, actress.
Why are you anti-woman, Doug?
I'm not. Misogynist.
He just called you that, and you tried to flip it on him as if he's a misogynist.
That's what I
tried
to do.
And it nearly worked.
That was a
worked.
Nice debate.
It nearly worked. No, you are.
But I bet you that Ken Jeong, I'm just guessing, for years probably thought about it, wanted to become an actor. Maybe you're trying out for some different roles here and there while you still have a great job to pay the bills. And then let's be real. I mean, he hit it absolutely out of the park with The Hangover. He'll be remembered for that for the rest of his life. I'm sure he gets quoted chow lines all the time. And I guarantee you, if he wasn't compensated nicely on the first one, the second one, and the third one, he's now a very coveted actor, Doug.
And he said he was serious as a doctor because I pictured he's in a consultation room and he's like, I'm sorry to say it, but you have a goiter and it's got to be removed. Kidding! It's a pimple!
You thought it was a goiter.
I don't think there's a lot of goiter humor in the medical industry.
Should be.
I just don't.
It's about time. We crash through that glass ceiling and get some goiter talk in operating rooms.
You think that's how doctors have a good time? Tell patients that they have some horrible medical condition and say, just kidding.
Listen, a goiter is just a small iodine deficiency. It can be treated. We're not talking life and death.
Everybody knows that.
That's where you have.
If it's on
that's
somebody
where
else's
as a,
neck.
As a medical professional, you can have some fun with that.
Have you ever struggled with a goiter?
No. But okay, I don't have an iodine deficiency.
Well, you might someday. It won't be a laughing matter.
Hey, Doug, Michael's Flooring Outlet has four great locations to visit and a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's locale. What sets them apart is their employees. When you come in, they will ask questions that others may not and will try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstock. Doug, when you think of Michael's, what should you think of?
Flooring.
Besides flooring.
Good flooring. Good solid flooring.
Also that they're local, okay? Oh, Michael's has been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. There are now four convenient locations in the St. Louis area. In St. Charles County, in West County, in North County, and in Darden Prairie, Michael's Flooring Outlet. Check them out, michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Doug and the Cat, we have Sea Monster and Iggy and Plowboy. We're at Billy G's in Kirkwood. We have Rick Hummel, the commish, the Hall of Fame Cardinals reporter, coming up after the break. We have Lauren and Wayne Turley at 9:20 talking about a great charity, a great cause, Catherine Cares. And then 9:45, Doug. Chop, chop, cheeky it is, because Bertarelli Cutlery brings us the cuts of the week.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that, as we look forward to any time we mention Bertarelli Cutlery. Because, you know, knives and sharpening, utensils, scissors, anything like
and
that.
And your favorite product there, of course, besides the Wusthof, is which knife?
It's the other one. Yeah, the other big name, the other big name brand. Now, by contract, I can't really mention that.
Okay.
Because, you know, I have an endorsement deal with the Wusthof people.
Sure.
But there are some other knives, and Bertarelli sells all of them right there in the retail section.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. And they're a great sponsor, and so is Billy G's. That's where we're at. We're going to take a break. We have the final hour of the show and the week. So much to come on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com.